going to open it up for some questions. Can you use MailChimp to email the list instead of GMAS? You might have troubles with MailChimp just because essentially it's like a bulk email, and they haven't really given you permission to email them. So you might have issues with that. They might shut down your account. So I probably wouldn't do it with that. What about targeting probates? Probates is another way. They're a very expensive list to get. And they're a little bit harder to deal with when it comes to probates. Probates are another distress list. But getting started and surrounding a seller, these are the highest converting lists, in my opinion. Gmail versus MailChimp. MailChimp won't let you do mass broadcasting, whereas like this you can. Do you provide scripts for the voicemail? Yes, absolutely. When you populate a list in REM Automator, how can you filter out the auction date, because some of those results show auction dates are already taking place? Those auction dates, you can filter by the auction dates, but remember, some of the auction dates have been postponed. So if they're still in there under foreclosure, now this data is the freshest data you can get anywhere. It's actually backed by American Title, and American Title has national data that's updated dynamically. So they're connected directly into American Title. That means their data is dynamically updated. So if there's an auction date that passed and it's still in foreclosure, then that auction date has been postponed and they haven't put an actual postponement date on it yet. Is there a library with sample scripts and text, voicemail, email? Also, is there any Spanish templates? I don't know if there's any Spanish templates there, Paul. Good question. But I think what you can do, what I would do, is I would go to campaigns here, Paul. I will go postcards, and I will go start with a template, right? And I pick this one. I go select, you know, if you're going to go test, right? And I will go done, and I will go advanced edit, right? And I would edit this and make it Spanish. And you can do that. Sean, when it comes to processing properties that have liens on them, can explain how you avoid inheriting them? Well, you're going to purchase the property through a title company. And when you purchase through a title company, they're going to clear title, meaning that that lien has to be paid off for the title to transfer. So let's say theoretically the house is worth $200,000. And they have a $60,000 first mortgage and a $40,000 lien. Well, that's $100,000. Well, you're going to have to sell the property for $100,000 or more to clear the mortgage and the lien and also make a profit on top of it. And does REI Automator offer the ability to email? It does offer the ability to email, but it doesn't work that well. They haven't figured out their servers yet. When I send emails out from REI Automator, they all went to spam in the spam inbox. So literally I didn't get like hardly any responses from it. With the market list provided, will it saturate this market? No, there's no such thing as saturation in this. There are so many sellers. I mean, millions and millions and millions of sellers that want to sell outside of using a realtor. That want to sell fast and then want to sell at a discount. So do not worry about saturation. What do you say when one more than one wholesaler? It's going to happen. It's just part of the business. If you got to separate yourself from everybody else. How I separate myself from everybody else is I spend time building rapport. I find out what their problem is and I help them solve their problem. Most wholesalers go in, meet sellers, they just blanket over, they don't really care. You know, they just go in and make their offer, you know, and that's it. So when you're doing this on the phone, you have to spend time with them. Spend time, just don't blow through it, right? Spend time with them, find out what their situation, find out what the problem is. The script that we have that we're using right now is just a a starting point basis to get them talking. But the premise, if you have in your mind is I've got to build rapport, I've got to find the problem, and I got to help them solve the problem. If you come to the relationship with that, right, then guess what? Making the correct offer to solve the problem, you'll get a deal. I'll give you an example. Gia, our lead manager, is learning how to close over the phone right now. She's doing really well doing it. So she had a seller that called in that wanted to sell, but he wanted to wait so he could save up some money to buy a boat so he can move up north, up in Phoenix. Up north is like a Flagstaff area. So I said, well, why don't you help him solve his problem? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, did you ask him how much his boat was worth? How much was his boat going to be? And she goes, oh, I didn't even think about that. So what I would have done, I would have said, hey, listen, you know, you said you're saving up for a boat, right? You got this house you want to sell and you want to move up north and you have a girlfriend that's kind of take advantage of you that you want to kind of move her out. So that's the problem. How can I solve the problem? So I would have been like, hey, listen, you know what? You know, how much is the boat? Oh, $22,000, right? What do you want to do up there? Where do you want to live up north? Okay, great. Wouldn't it be nice to have your girlfriend moved out? I said, great. So let me ask you a question. So what if I could buy your house, get you enough cash to buy the boat, get you enough cash to move up north and take care of that and move the girlfriend out and get this off your hands? Wouldn't you rather do that now than later? Right? That's a closing question, right? So now they go, yeah, I'd like to do it now. I say, great. Okay, good. Well, you said you need to be at, you know, $100,000 for the property. Looking at the comps, they can be around 93. If we can make those numbers work, we can get it done today, right? So you're talking to a seller and you're solving the problem. All right, it's from Ann. Sean, when it comes to high equity liens, is there a training on how to understand if there's a deal? I've been told that you can only buy a lien and hold it. No, that's not true, Ann. Yes, we are on week number one. Week number two, we're going to talk about analyzing and offering a deal on a deal and what's a deal and what's not a deal, right? So the good thing about Offer Automator, and here's a deal. I got a contract on a property last night. I got this property right here. Average comparable is 284. I got under contract for 150 last night. So anyways, with liens, we're going to show you how to comp properties, and we'll show you exactly how to comp properties, what the ARV is, what the max allowable is, the numbers you need to make the right offer to the seller and do it very quickly. For international phones, you can use a Google Voice, right, in a local number. Say if you want to work in Dallas and you want to use a Dallas number, you can use that and it can push to your number in wherever you live in Brazil or something like that. You know what I mean? So you can do that. You can do that with CallRail as well. I truly know the market I want to focus on in hot zip codes. Should I just focus on the hot zip codes area still, even though I can get cash buyers in zip codes that I want to target and is not considering hot zip codes? Should I? No, I mean, here's the thing is that if you have cash buyers in a specific area, then market there as well, right? This is a great way to start. To start targeting sellers in hot zip codes to really narrow your marketing down and your marketing budget down. But if you know specifically what your buyers want and what they want to buy, then great. You know what I mean? Then you can do that. Then definitely market to them. If you're a one-man show, should I try to omni-channel marketing or one marketing channel at a time? The thing is, you don't want to do one channel at a time, right? So you definitely want to cold call, right? And then I would definitely text and emailing. You can send an email, and RVM is something that can be done where it's not. So the effort is primarily going to be in the cold calling and the texting, right? So for that one, if you're going to pick one or the other, like RVM, that's something that can be done in the background. Emailing, that something can be sent, right? And direct mail, that something can be sent out. You're waiting for calls to come in. Listen, the goal is to generate as many leads as possible from as many channels as possible with these distressed sellers. So do what you can do when it comes to time. Send out the direct mail and then spend an hour cold calling. And if it's going to be cold calling or texting, I would cold call. And then you can send out your emails, and you can actually schedule when those emails are going to go out. So you could schedule that to go out, and that's going to hit a couple hundred people, right? You know, how many of your people are on your list. And then your RVMs, you can go back and call back the people that left voicemails. Is there a specific order that you recommend? All of them, all the time, as much as you can. So all of them, all the time, as much as you can. There's really not an order. I mean, I would do direct mail first, because that's going to take some time for it to actually hit someone's box and then come back. But I would hit them all as many times as possible. So when it comes, I talked about the collection guy. Collection guy calls you 3 or 4 or 5 times a day, every single day, even on weekends, right? You want to use the collection call mentality when it comes to targeting these motivated sellers. How do you cold call and text message from overseas? Well, you can use Skype, right? Skype, you can cold call. And I'm not sure you can text, but let me look on that. I'll check that out to see about texting from overseas. That's a good question, Mary. Huh? Google Voice, you can text? All right, so Google Voice, you can text. So with Google Voice, you actually can, you can go in, you can copy and paste, you can text your numbers out of there. So there you go. So you got calling, you can call out of Google Voice too, right? So you can call out of Google Voice too. So you can cold call and you can text out of Google Voice for free. I didn't hear you mention the price of the postcard marketing. Is that included in RBI? They're not going to include the acts. They're not going to give you free direct mail, because obviously you have to pay for stamps and all that type of stuff, and printing and mailing. So I think they're like 45 or 50 cents. Don't quote me on that exactly what the pricing are per piece that's mailed out. So if you mail out 100 and they're, 50 cents, it's $500 to mail out 500 letters, 500 postcards. In your experience, what's the average startup cost of getting a real estate deal closed? It depends on what you do. Like if you get a list and you skip trace it and you don't direct mail and all you do is cold call and text and email, right, and stuff like that, and you continue to do that, it's cheap, be under $500, right? If you insert direct mail, now you're saying close to like $1,000, right, to be able to get a deal. But there's so many, like with cold calling, it's so cheap and costly. You can just do cold calling. You can get the list, skip trace it, just do cold calling, and cold call, and you continue to cold call these distressed sellers. You'll get a seller that's motivated, that wants to sell. And realize everybody we're cold calling is in distress. Right? I mean, there is some sort of distress. Either it's vacant with high equity, it's vacant with a lien, or it's high equity with a lien, or it's pre-foreclosure. There's some sort of distress going on there. We know there's distress, so we know if we can get in front of them, we can get a deal. Dorian asked, I didn't understand the point where you're marketing distressed or non-distressed sellers. Okay, great question, Dorian. I would recommend marketing to distressed starting out. And if you need to expand your list beyond distressed, then you can move into non-distress, okay? So as you get more experience, you can move into non-distress. Or you have the choice as a remote wholesaler to move into another market and then market distress there. Now, there's something to be said. What I'm saying is that moving into multiple different markets and only targeting distress, which is considered low-hanging fruit, versus hitting non-distress, which is more difficult, right? Because you're going to have a lot of marketing and you're kind of hunting for someone that's in distress where you know someone's in distress if you're targeting someone in pre-foreclosure. Why would a cash buyer want to buy a pre-foreclosure home from me, and what do they think if owner has a mortgage on or lien? Well, remember, we're negotiating. Let's say a cash buyer is going to buy a house from you because they think either A, they can rent it for cash flow, or B, they can fix and flip the property and make a profit, right? And if there's a lien or a mortgage on it, that means that lien or mortgage will have to get paid off at closing. So if the house is worth $250 and they owe on a lien or a mortgage $100 and you get it under contract for $120, well, they're going to pay off and you sell it for $150, right? Well, guess what? The seller's going to get $20,000. The banks in the lien's going to get $100,000. The seller's going to get $20,000. You're going to get $30,000. And the buyer now is going to get a $250,000 property with $100,000 in equity. How many markets, Ann? Start with one. When emailing from GMS, what would you recommend? Your email address, your company name at Gmail, your personal name? I probably wouldn't do your personal name at Gmail. I would just do it's probably taken, Phoenix Cash Buyers, 1920, or Phoenix Cash Buyers 2019, something like that, or 777 or 444 or whatever, something like that. What's a reasonable amount to pay a cold caller? Probably, if they're in the United States, $12 an hour, right? If they're virtually, you can obviously get less than that, like less $8 or less an hour. What's a reasonable marketing budget to start with? Depending on how much work you want to put in. If you want to cold call and text, it can be very cheap, right? You can get a list of like less than 300 to 500 names right out of REI Automator, skip trace it, right? And then if you're going to cold call and text and email those names, that's like the cheapest way you can get started. If you want a direct mail, it's going to be a little bit more. It depends on your budget and what you're comfortable with. REI Automator does do email campaigns, but I don't like the way they do them. They haven't fixed it yet to where all the emails go directly into spam and that you don't get any response from anybody. Is Google AdWords not recommended? No, Google AdWords is recommended. It's more in an advanced methodology to be able to do Google AdWords. There's a lot of moving parts with Google AdWords. You got to have a website with Google AdWords, email campaign follow-ups. There's remarketing and retargeting with Google AdWords. It is an effective marketing method. I teach it in like Down Market Profits and Flip to Freedom Academy course. But for this right here in the omnipresent marketing, you can't really create omnipresent marketing with a campaign like Google AdWords because it's at random. You stick an ad out there and people click on it and it's not targeted. Well, how many leads make one offer? Well, you should be making offers on every single lead, right? Essentially leads is equivalent to offers. We make offers, written offers on every single lead. And a lead is someone that says, hey, I have a house and I want to sell it. So if you have a house, you want to sell it, they're getting a contract. I have a private money lender wanting to invest $250,000 in my business. How should I write it up a business plan on the remote millions business model that reflects substantial growth of the funds? Juan, that's a very specific question. You want a guy to invest $250,000. If someone's going to invest in your business, then I would specifically have it done in obviously marketing. But before I would have Juan, anybody invest in the business, I would make sure you fully understand, how to talk to sellers, how to close deals. Before I would take any, I would make sure I have a proven, I know that I can close deals on my own. And then if someone wanted to invest, then I can say, listen, I've done it. I can, this is the market we're hitting. This is how many leads I got. This is how many offers I made. This is how many contracts I got. And it's a proven business model, meaning that it's like a box. If you put in 100, if you put in 1,000, you get $2,000 out. But right now, you have to make this work and work around your numbers and who you are, right? And then be able to understand and track those numbers. Like if you have a tracking spreadsheet that I just showed you, and you showed that, hey, I invested this, I went out and I did this, this is the leads, this is the contracts, and this is the revenue I made, that's a great essential business plan to sit down with someone and say, listen, if I invest more in marketing, I can do more offers and more contracts and get more revenue, and then you could do some sort of revenue split. Are postcards actually postcards? They're cards? Yeah, they're sent out via the mail house. So there's a mail house, you press submit, and it goes to the mail house, and the mail house will print them, put a stamp on them, and mail them first class. How long does it take a title company to do title report? I've seen 24 hours up to 72 hours. How do you get local numbers to text from being in mind that you're using a foreign number? Remember, you're gonna use Google Voice to text and to call, right? From Google Voice, you can get a local number for Google Voice and you can text from Google Voice. What is the best way to track results? Right here, I give it to you. This is the best way to track results. You want X amount of leads, you got a goal leads, put your goal leads in, and then weekly, every single week, how many leads I got, how many appointments I made, how many offers, and how many contracts. What method to contacting has worked most effective? All of them together, it's the omnipresent marketing. All of those together creates a 37% increase. Spanish market in the US is huge. We have in Phoenix just one, a lady that works for us, just Spanish speaking that goes on appointments. We have Spanish, our Spanish websites. Yeah, it's Spanish market's good. Can we do skip tracing and do a reverse lookup? Not inside of REI Automator. You have to get the list and then it will skip trace the actual list. I believe you can send, I've never done it before, but I believe you can send and respond through text messages via CallRail. So you can text back and forth inside a CallRail with the telephone numbers inside a CallRail. Similar like you can do with Google Voice. You live in Dallas. If you live in Dallas right now and you're in Dallas, I would market in Dallas and I'd pick another market across, just like Phoenix. Phoenix is, there's tons of people in Phoenix, but I have a local business and I have a remote business as well. What would be the first thing you start with? Well, I brought you through the whole step-by-step-by-step exactly what to start with, right? First off, you start with selecting a city. Second thing you start with is you pick a zip code. Third thing you start with is you set up your either Google Voice or CallRail, right? After that, second thing you start with right there is you got distress lists, right? So you got those different distress lists. So you can start with pre-foreclosures is the first list you start with, right? Start with pre-foreclosures. And then third, create the omnipresent marketing through that. So you're going to send them a direct mail. You're going to cold call them. You're going to text them. You're going to RVM them if you can and email them. Yeah, when you're asking questions on a house, we're going to give you this script too as well. This is this script. It's a seller lead sheet. So you can fill in about the bathroom. So when you're talking to them, this is used as a general cold calling script. But you're going to also have this right here, which is a lead sheet. Any repairs needed, is the house listed, phone, list price. This is going to expand the questions you're going to be able to ask right here. How quickly you're going to sell, you know what I mean? How did you establish that number, right? And this is enable you to, this is able to open the call, but you're going to be gathering this information as well. How much time should we spend between each marketing channel? None. If you can do all at once, do all at once. And then when should you do it again? As soon as possible. Omnichannel marketing, is it some sort of system that allows you to keep track of your marketing technique or just a name? Omnichannel marketing is, I didn't invent the name. It's been around recently when it comes to response and stuff like that, has been proven as a higher response. Is there a way to keep track? That's why you have I don't know if there's either way to keep track. other than you're going to be tracking how many leads you get and where they come from. So you're going to track here, right? You're going to track your leads, but you can track where they come from. Well, I got two leads from text. I got one from direct mail, or two from direct mail, and I got another one from cold calling, right? How do you establish a relationship over the phone? You're essentially building rapport, right? So you're building rapport with someone. So building rapport is finding commonality. So just like if you were going to the grocery store, and or if you're in line at the bank and you meet someone and you're talking to them and they happen to like your favorite sports team, or they happen to be from your high school, you have commonality. So the people that build the best rapport have the ability to build a commonality quickly with somebody. So what you're doing when you're asking questions about the house and about them and what's their situation and how they want to sell is you're looking for commonalities to build rapport. Sean, I live in Europe and have a European phone number. Do you think I could be an obstacle for a seller? No, you're going to use Google Voice, right? Or you're going to use CallRail. Google Voice or CallRail or Skype, and you're going to get a local number in the market you're in. Right? That's why we set up a Google Voice number. You're going to get a local number in the market you're in, either Google Voice or CallRail, right? Remember we went into CallRail, went tracking, right? And we're going to create a number, right? It's going to be offline, and then we're going to, you know, put a phone number in, right? Next. And then we can pick a phone number, right? We can pick a different area code if you want Dallas, Texas, or something like that. We're going to pick Alaska, Alberta, Arizona, Arkansas, British Columbia, California. Whatever we're going to do wherever we do business is where we're going to do, and that's where we can do business out of. But I would use Google Voice. Have you ever purchased a property, got stuck with it? No, because as wholesalers, we have out clauses. So we're going to go through that. Well, we'll give you the contracts and what to say in the contracts and stuff like that. But in our contracts, we have an out clause. In the out clause, it lets us get out of the deal. Why does some properties show an estimated value being different from the ARV? Because that's just the system going in and trying to figure out the value based upon its comps. It's just doing a quick predictor, almost like a Zillow or a Redfin. Yeah, so I don't endorse the email in REI Automator. Are you okay with RVM? Yes, I love RVM. It's, like I said, one of our best lead source. It's the cheapest way to get leads, and it's easy to set up, and it literally just let it run and you get leads coming in. It's great. Since I work with a realtor, since I'm remote, we're going to get into next week deciding to work with a boots on the ground or not. We'll talk about that next week. Do I have a higher probability of finding deals in a hottest zip code than a non-hot zip code? I don't think it's a probability of finding. I think you can find, if you like go Dallas, you can find deals in all sorts of zip codes. But when it comes selling those deals, that's when it becomes an issue. Remember, if an average days on market across the country is, say, 90 to 100 days, you've got to make your deal so incredibly sweet that it's going to sell in, you know, 7 to 10 days or less. You got to make it so incredible. So you want to have in real estate, it's location, location, location. So why wouldn't you want to get a property in the hottest location so you can sell it the quickest? Can REI Automator skip trace for buyers? It can, but it cannot skip trace LLCs. What would you suggest starting with a one man? Starting with a low budget, we'll start with cold calling. Cold calling and texting and emailing, right? And if you can send postcards because and if you can't send postcards via the machine right there, handwrite letters and personally send the letters out. There was a time when I couldn't afford marketing. I handwrote letters from my kitchen table and then handwrite letters and send them out that way. Or print off postcards at home and send them off that way. How can we access the recording as a jump on way halfway through? Recordings will be available on either Thursday or Friday and be available up in the membership site. Yeah, so you went overseas. How effectively make calls when it's opposite time zone? I've known people. I knew a guy in Israel, complete different time zone, and had to make calls and do calls on different time zone until he got someone that was doing calls for him, and basically just setting it up where he trained someone to make all the offers for him. So he called the sellers and make the offers, and the guy worked for him. Would someone without funds be able to be successful with spending? You're going to have to work a lot harder than anybody else with zero funds and just the knowledge of the program, right? Because you're going to have to take the list, and you're going to have to hand write letters and send them out. You know what I mean? You're going to have to hand write letters. So it's a business. So you're asking me, how can I start a business and, you know, have no money to put into the business for marketing or anything like that? So if you're going to do that, it's going to take a lot more effort on your part, John, to handwrite letters. You got to be able to get phone numbers of sellers, right? So if you, instead of skip tracing in bulk, you're going to have to Google each one of the people on the list, the address, the name on the list, try to find their Facebook and hunt them down. It's going to be a lot more effort. It can be done. Believe me, I started with minimal. I handwrote letters from my kitchen table. I sent out 25 a day. That's all I could do. You know what I mean? And was able to do it. Now, once you get your first check, you reinvest 15% back into marketing. Right? So if you get a $10,000 check, now you got $1,500 marketing budget, then everything changes. Do you suggest hiring a virtual employee? Not until you know what you're doing. Now, if you're well-versed and know what you're doing and you can instruct them on specifically what to do, then yes, but probably not. Should we be leaving a voicemail? I wouldn't be leaving a voicemail, no. Yeah, with RVM, inside the RVM, we have a specific training on exactly how to do it, but all calls go back to a voicemail. It's called a qualification voicemail. The qualification voicemail will qualify that lead, and then if they're interested, they'll leave a voicemail, or they won't. Do you need an LLC to wholesale? No. Get your first deal first, and then set up an LLC thereafter. If a vacant house has recent sale date between 2022 and 2009, what can this indicate other than being bought and held for another investor? I'm not 100% sure. You know, it's hard. You never know what someone's going to do with the property, Karen. But essentially, it's vacant via the mail house. So it's USPS. So USPS, it basically takes the properties, it pings against the USPS and tells if it's vacant or not. An utter answer motivation of a seller who has high equity yet multiple liens. Why has the owner not tried to sell the house through a realtor? Why would they allow it to get so bad? You know what? You never know. You know what? Maybe the seller thought they were going to come up with money to pay it off. Maybe they had a friend that was going to loan them money. Maybe they wanted to stay in the house and now they can't stay in the house. It's in foreclosure. I can tell you, Rob, there's so many reasons that are completely not understandable when it comes to sellers and what they do. On ListSource, which plan should we use first, or just get the email addresses? Don't get any plan. There's no plan. I didn't go through any plans or signing up any plans or getting any lists. If you just follow the video and exactly what I showed you, then you could just download the zip codes. Sean, your experience enough when to see when a deal's win for all involved. As a newbie, how will I be able to determine this in the deals that we'll encounter? Well, it's called... Well, first off, we're going to show you what a deal is. So then you can, it's almost like Cindy, we're digging for gold, right? So you're asking, saying, hey, you're experienced in knowing what gold looks like, right? So how can I know what gold looks like? So we're going to show you what gold looks like, and then you're going to go look for gold, right? And then you're going to say, hey, this is gold and this is not gold. So we're going to show you what gold is. And then now you're going to be able to look for gold. Now the experience comes on different scenarios that come out. And that's what's great about real estate, is that the more experience you get, you're going to get, you're going to understand more different experiences with sellers and situations that all come up. And that is just through education, getting on the coaching calls. We have a deal or no deal class that's every 2 weeks where Brandon, he's like my right-hand guy, he gets on deal or no deal, and you get to bring your properties and he'll tell you if it's a deal or no deal and why it's a deal or no deal. So it's pretty cool. What should you study during this next week? There should be videos up in there of Dean and his initial training starting up there right now. So he should have the videos up there on creating a money mindset, boosting your productivity, persuasion secrets, perception not reality, and the promised land. So he has those up there. I would start with those. Get your mindset right, and then these videos will be up the following week. And also start playing around with REI Automator. How do you make sure you're in compliance with RVM? Just do not ringless voicemail, do not call list, which it will scrub against the national do not call list. What do you recommend for CRM? We are using Podio right now. So in week number 2, we're going to go through setting up and using Podio. Does REI always have accurate figures? No, I don't think I know one software that always has accurate figures, Deborah. I don't think they're 100%. They're accurate, but everything. I've come across properties where they're way off, but 99% of them, they're pretty accurate. You guys have been great. Thank you guys so much for hanging on with me, and you'll be able to access all the training, all the spreadsheets, all the documents, all the scripts and everything needed to be off to the races. So thank you guys so much. Have a blessed weekend and God bless.